Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 29th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stock futures rise after China indicates it won't retaliate against the newest U.S. tariffs.
In an exclusive interview, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tells us ultra-long bonds are under very serious consideration.
And the second reading of U.S. GDP may point to slightly lower economic growth.
Dorian spares Puerto Rico, but the storm is gaining strength for Florida. Plus, another name is out of the presidential race. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Mets fell way behind, fell short, lost to the Cubs, their fifth loss in a row. Yankees finished a sweep in Seattle. Serena Williams won last night at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares and U.S. stock index futures are jumping on a trade optimism. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points this morning. Dow futures up 194, and NASDAQ futures up 70. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%, so is the FTSE 100, and the CAC in Paris up 1.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.3%. Your Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.50%. Yield on the two-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $56.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 70 cents at $15.48.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1075 against the dollar, and the yen at 106.28. Nathan.
Karen, the lift we're seeing in futures this morning follows new trade developments out of China. We get the very latest from Bloomberg News Managing Editor Emma O'Brien in Beijing.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. In his weekly briefing to the press, Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesperson Gao Shuang signaled the country won't retaliate against the latest round of U.S. tariffs. Gao said that the focus should be on removing levies, not escalating the trade war, and that the two sides are in discussions about meeting in the U.S. in September. It's a markedly different tone to the atmosphere of confrontation that has been in place between the two sides over the past few weeks. Gao also said China won't crack down on foreign companies and that escalating the fight over trade between the two largest economies wasn't good for the world. In Beijing, I'm Emma O'Brien, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Emma, thank you. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said issuing ultra-long U.S. bonds is under very serious consideration in the Trump administration. We get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
It possibly sets up a move that would mark a historic revamp of the $16 trillion Treasuries market. Mnuchin said, quote, if the conditions are right, then I would anticipate we'll take advantage of long-term borrowing and execute on that. He said officials held a meeting earlier in the day to review the possibility. The concept of issuing 50 or 100-year bonds dates to at least 2009 and has recently gained traction within Treasury. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Two policymakers are suggesting headwinds confronting the U.S. economy might warrant further rate cuts. Comments by regional presidents Robert Kaplan and Mary Daly reinforce Jerome Powell's message that a September reduction is likely. Speaking to Bloomberg Television in Asia, San Francisco Chief Daly said she was worried that negative sentiment surrounding the U.S. economy could be self-fulfilling.
All of these moods will actually get ahead of the data and it could become a self-fulfilling prophecy, one that actually makes it harder for us to sustain the expansion and achieve our goals.
Daly is not a voter this year on the rate-setting FOMC.
Later this morning, the government issues revised data on second quarter GDP. Economists are forecasting little change, with economic growth running at a 2% pace. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says business inventory growth and government construction spending could make a smaller contribution to the second quarter revision, but consumer spending could be bumped higher. In its initial GDP report, the government estimated the economy expanded at a 2.1% pace, slower than the fourth quarter's 3.1%. Today's report will also offer a first look at second quarter corporate profits. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Germany's labor market looks like it's starting to crack under the weight of a manufacturing recession, raising the pressure for the government to respond with fiscal stimulus. The number of people out of work increased by 4,000 to 2.29 million in August. That's the fourth straight month that joblessness failed to drop after 6 years of almost continuous decline.
The pound is holding losses after UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson moved to suspend Parliament. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Boris Johnson has thrown down the gauntlet on Brexit after the Queen granted permission to suspend Parliament. That effectively gives the Prime Minister's opponents 2 weeks to come up with a way to pass a law to stop Britain crashing out of the EU on October the 31st. The decision outraged critics and is serving as a unifying force for the disparate opposition. The backlash has also been felt outside of Westminster, with protests around Britain and a petition to block the move gaining more than 1 million signatures. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. And staying in Europe, shares of Micro Focus have lost more than a quarter of their value. The UK software company cut its outlook for full-year revenue. It blames a worsening macro environment and growing uncertainty among its clients.
Pernod Ricard reported its strongest annual earnings growth in 7 years, fueled by Chinese demand. It also announced a $1.1 billion share buyback. The company also announced the $223 million purchase of New York-based Castle Brands to add Jefferson's Bourbon to its portfolio. The stock is up 1% this morning.
Dell reports after the closing bell. Bloomberg Intelligence says Dell's full-year sales may be pushed toward the lower end of its $93 billion to $96 billion guidance range, or even below, amid weakness in global corporate IT spending.
And Bloomberg News has learned Forever 21 is preparing for a potential bankruptcy. Sources say the company has been in talks for additional financing and working with a team of advisors to help it restructure its debt. But negotiations with possible lenders have so far stalled, the people said. Forever 21 operates more than 800 stores in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and Latin America. S&P futures higher, up 25 points. Dow futures up 235. And NASDAQ futures up 88. The DAX in Germany is up 1% now. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.50%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get the latest on what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Hurricane Dorian is moving out over open waters after doing limited damage in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Forecasters warn it is gaining strength and is likely to grow into a dangerous storm while heading toward the northern Bahamas and Florida's east coast. The U.S. National Hurricane Center said Dorian is expected to strengthen into a dangerous Category 3 hurricane before it passes near or over the northern Bahamas on Saturday and closes in on Florida. Jack Bevin is with the National Hurricane Center.
The expected landfall would be around, given the current forecast, would be sometime on Sunday or probably Monday.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez.
Now is the time, if you don't have that plan, put that plan together. If you do need to evacuate, find a friend's home or another relative's home, which you can go to and be safe. That's not an evacuation zone.
Many stores in South Florida are limiting water purchases to 4 cases per customer. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is dropping out of the presidential race. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
She did it in a video.
Hey, everyone. I wanted you to hear it from me first, but after more than 8 incredible months, I'm ending my presidential campaign.
Gillibrand entered the race on the theme of women's rights, but found the field crowded with other women with the same message.
I know this isn't the result we wanted. We wanted to win this race. But it's important to know when it's not your time.
She had tweeted just hours before the next debate deadline that she was getting close to the goal, but she fell short. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's a potential new threat from North Korea. Military analysts say satellite images indicate Kim Jong-un's regime may be building a submarine capable of launching nuclear missiles. The Trump administration is threatening to pull federal support for a Vermont hospital after one of its nurses says she was forced to participate in an abortion procedure despite objecting on religious grounds. The Department of Health and Human Services is pursuing the case. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Mets have lost as many games the last 5 days as they did in the previous 4 weeks. After winning 21 of 26, getting right into the thick of the pennant race, 5 straight losses, all at home, where the Mets had been good all season. They fell behind the Cubs 10-1 in the third inning, did battle back, cut it to 10-7, had the tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth with nobody out, couldn't get a run in, let alone three, and the Cubs won 10-7. Noah Syndergaard gave up all 10, all but one earned, worst start of his career. The Mets fall 4 games out for a wild card. They'll start Jacob deGrom tonight, and do they ever need a win? Yankees, well-deserved day off, back home from a road trip that began with 3 losses in Oakland, but they went 2-1 in L.A. and had a sweep in Seattle. Aaron Boone after yesterday's 7-3 victory.
From a mindset standpoint, I've never had reason to be concerned with these guys and what they're going to bring for the next day, for the next series. And I think that's why I was confident going on to L.A. and coming up here. And for us to take care of the business the way we did today after a tough start to this trip and finish off a really good West Coast really says a lot about those guys out there.
James Paxton beat Justice Sheffield. A couple of lefties were traded for each other last winter. 4 more Yankee home runs. Gary Sanchez, first inning Yanks homer in the first every game of the series. Later, DJ LeMahieu, Mike Ford, Aaron and Judge. Ford's hit 4 homers in 4 games. Judge has hit 5 in the last 6. Serena Williams last night against 17-year-old American Katie McNally. Serena won, but it wasn't easy. She needed 3 sets. This after Venus Williams lost her second-round match. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanley.
All right, John, thank you. We're seeing solid gains for U.S. and European equities after a mixed session in Asia. S&P futures are higher by 25 points. That's a gain of nearly 0.9%. Dow futures up 239 points. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 90 points. The DAX in Germany up 1%. The CAC in Paris up 1.2%. 10-year down 5/32, yield 1.49%. The 2-year at 1.51%. That's an inversion of 1.8 basis points. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is up 32 cents, $56.10 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we'll bring in Morgan Stanley, Chief Cross Asset Strategist Andrew Sheets. Get his read on this market as it continues to react to the shifting U.S.-China trade story. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing along with U.S. stock index futures after China indicated it would not immediately retaliate against the latest U.S. tariff increase. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 234, NASDAQ futures up 88. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 27 cents at $56.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.40 to $15.47.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1075 against the dollar. The yen at 106.28. Sentiment among euro area businesses and consumers unexpectedly rose in August. And this was a respite from an almost nonstop string of disappointing numbers and recession concerns. And today we are watching for a report on second quarter gross domestic product at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims and wholesale inventories. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index out at 9:45, and pending home sales is out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Forecasters are warning that Hurricane Dorian is gaining strength and will probably grow into a Category 3 hurricane as it heads toward the northern Bahamas and Florida's east coast. The storm did little damage to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. President Sergio Mattarella gave Giuseppe Conte, Italy's outgoing prime minister, a mandate to form a new government. Mattarella wants Conte to iron out the differences between the Five Star Movement and the center-left Democratic Party and form a working coalition. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has dropped out of the 2020 presidential race. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Nationals beat the Orioles 8-4, the Red Sox were winners, the A's lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Roger Federer advanced, Venus Williams was eliminated. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Andrew Sheets, Chief Cross-Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley, on a morning where we are seeing a pretty significant lift to the U.S. futures contracts. Andrew, what do you make of these latest signals on U.S.-China trade that China is signaling that it might not react or retaliate to the latest round of tariffs?
Well, thank you. It's in the near term, it's certainly a positive thing, but I don't think the positive elements will struggle to remain so for very long. I think you still have the same underlying problem as you move into September. I think you still have the same fundamental impasse over key parts of a trade agreement. And let's also not forget that we're at a time of August where we think there will be a lot of rebalancing flows anyway out of bonds into stocks, given how much bonds have outperformed equities month to date. So I think that can also confuse a little bit of the market signal that we're seeing.
So what do you see major changes then to the yield curve with that outflow from bonds into equities?
We don't. I think the yield curve is still sending a pretty strong message that the Fed will ease policy more and more, but that it won't really boost the long run economic or growth picture, unfortunately. And I think that that's a message that's being confirmed in a lot of other parts of the market. The fact that small caps are underperforming, the fact that cyclical equities are underperforming, the fact that commodities have been weak, I think that's all sending a very similar signal as the yield curve, that the growth picture is very challenged. So, you know, again, today's headlines on trade are good, but I don't think we'd read too much into them in terms of a long-term positive effect.
So for the long term, how do you advise clients to position when we have all these shifting headlines in the U.S.-China trade story?
So I think investors should remain cautious. We moved underweight global equities in early July. We think that continues to be the right way to position. I think, unfortunately, as you move into September, you still have a lot of near-term challenges. We think company guidance might be quite negative as they digest a still escalating trade situation and weaker data. And I think the long-term picture also continues to look challenged. We see a lot of late cycle warning signals. Valuations are not particularly cheap across a number of key asset classes. And so I think investors are best advised to remain cautious, to be overweight cash, and I think to wait for a better opportunity.
So are you thinking then, based on all of those headwinds, that equities might have topped out at this point?
We are worried about that. We have the S&P 500 lower over the next 12 months in our base case. We have global equities also struggling. And again, I think it's a combination of factors. It's not just one thing. It's not just trade. It's trade. It's high expectations in the Fed. It's weakening global data. And I think it's a lot of confidence that central bank policy can overwhelm and offset all these other factors when we think the historical record suggests that it's more limited in what it's actually able to do.
I'm curious what you make of Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's comments to Bloomberg that he's putting an ultra long bond under very serious consideration. Is that something in the cards for you?
Well, I do think at a bigger picture, I do think one thing we need to be mindful of is that August is usually historically the best month of the entire year for government bonds. There's often very little supply. That markets tend to be a little bit more volatile in August. Both of those help Treasury performance. That performance support reverses in September and continues to reverse as you move into October. So even before you kind of think of these headlines of maybe increased supply and increased supply at the long end, you know, treasuries are losing a big seasonal tailwind in August as you head into September. And I think that is something that probably does act as something of a drag on performance as you go ahead.
So just quickly, the idea of an ultra long bond, you think that's just an idea that like a trial balloon that Mnuchin's putting out there?
It's possible. I mean, look, certainly, I think this is a historically, incredibly inexpensive rate to borrow at. But I think when the Treasury has done these studies, it's also generally found that it's paid too much for borrowing in the long term. So even though I think to you or I, we look at, kind of 2% on a 30-year bond and say that's a great level to lock in, I think actually a lot of the Treasury analysis over the years has suggested that borrowing long term has been economically less good for the taxpayer overall.
Andrew Sheets, Chief Cross Asset Strategist, Morgan Stanley. Always great having you on. Thanks so much for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And looking at the current market snapshot, S&P futures are higher by 24 points, Dow futures up 230 points, and NASDAQ futures up 86. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising on the latest trade headlines out of Asia. We get more from a Bloomberg News managing editor, Emma O'Brien, in Beijing.
We had the weekly briefing by the Commerce Ministry here in Beijing today. The spokesperson there, Gao Shuang, he signaled that the country won't retaliate against the latest round of U.S. tariffs. A little bit of a dial back there. Gao said that the focus should be on removing levies, not escalating the trade war, and that the two sides had actually been in discussions about meeting in the US in September. It is a really different tone to the atmosphere of confrontation that's been in place between the two sides over the past few weeks, maybe even the past few months. Gao also said quite pointedly that China won't crack down on foreign companies. This is in reference to this blacklist that China had warned about, and that escalating the fight over trade between the two largest economies in the world just really wasn't good for the globe.
Bloomberg News managing editor Emma O'Brien in Beijing. In other news we're following this morning, the Trump administration is giving careful thought to selling something Wall Street may not be ready to buy, ultra-long debt. In an exclusive interview, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tells Bloomberg that offering bonds with maturities of 50 to 100 years is under, in his words, very serious consideration.
And 3 hours from now, the government issues revised data on second quarter GDP. The forecast is for economic growth at a 2% pace.
Sony has agreed to sell its 5% stake in Olympus back to the healthcare devices company. It's one of several moves that American activist investor Dan Loeb had suggested the Japanese technology giant make.
Sources say Forever 21 is preparing for a potential bankruptcy filing as the fashion retailer's cash dwindles and turnaround options fade. The move would help it shed unprofitable stores and recapitalize the business.
The shares of Box are down 8% in early trading. The company, which develops internet applications, forecasts third quarter sales that trailed analyst estimates. Dell Technologies reports this afternoon.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 25 points. Dow futures up 230. NASDAQ futures up 87. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 33 cents at $56.11 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1%, down $2.10 at $15.47 an ounce. The euro 1.1076 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and it's time again to check in with Michael Barr and find out what else is happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. People in Puerto Rico are breathing a sigh of relief as Hurricane Dorian largely bypassed the Caribbean island. Officials had prepared for the worst, especially after the Hurricane Maria catastrophe in 2017. Now, Dorian is forecast to grow into a dangerous Category 3 hurricane by the time it makes landfall in Florida. Jack Bevin is with the National Hurricane Center.
There's a chance in 4 to 5 days' time it could be near or over portions of Florida or the southeastern United States, although it's too early to pinpoint any specific area that's most threatened.
A state of emergency has been declared in Florida. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says she is dropping out of the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Gillibrand made the announcement in a video posted to her Twitter account.
I know this isn't the result we wanted. We wanted to win this race. But it's important to know when it's not your time.
Gillibrand failed to meet the minimum thresholds for required number of donors and polling to qualify for the September Democratic debate in Houston. The Trump Organization does not have to pay most of the legal fees racked up by the president's former personal lawyer. A state court judge in New York dismissed much of Michael Cohen's lawsuit, in which he sought almost $4 million. The company had urged the judge to throw out the suit, claiming Cohen was just hoping to score a payday. The Department of Defense says we can expect regular press briefings. In his first briefing as Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper says that while the department is hopeful a diplomatic resolution can come about with Iran, they are not yet ready to stand down.
I'm not sure I'm ready to call the crisis over yet, but so far so good. And we hope the trend lines continue that way. And we hope that the parties, that the Iranians would agree to talk, meet and talk and help us resolve these issues.
Police officers in New York want the mayor and the commissioner to resign. They also may be taking part in a work slowdown, according to observers. It's happening in the wake of the firing of a white police officer, Daniel Pantaleo, who played a role in the death of Eric Garner, a black man on Staten Island 5 years ago. The Labor Day weekend is one of the busiest travel weekends of the year. Today and Tuesday are expected to be the most popular days to travel. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Mets were so hot, they were bound to cool off somewhat, especially playing better teams. The surprise is five straight losses all at home, where the Mets had been 37-20. Only twice all year had they lost as many as three straight home games. The Cubs won 10-7, a game where Chicago led 10-1 in the third inning. Noah Syndergaard gave up all 10. Mets rallied, and in the bottom of the ninth, they had the tying run at the plate with nobody out. Couldn't get a run in, let alone three. They're now four games out for a playoff spot that got Jacob DeGrom going tonight. Yankees won 7-3 at Seattle for a series sweep. Ex-Mariner James Paxton gave up only one hit. Four more Yankee home runs, including Aaron Judge, who's homered in five of the last six games. Yanks off tonight, host Oakland tomorrow. We'll try to get some revenge on the A's, who swept them last week. U.S. Open, second straight match where Roger Federer fell behind, but won in four sets. Novak Djokovic in straight sets, despite an ailing left shoulder. Venus Williams out in the second round. Serena last night won in three sets over 17-year-old Katie McNally. NFL preseason ends tonight. The Giants at New England. Both teams, for what it's worth, are 3-0. Giants coach Pat Shurmur.
I'm very comfortable with the guys that we have. And, you know, we're going to put the roster together and get ready to go against Dallas. So I'm comfortable. And then, obviously, we're going to be able to see some things in this game, you know, from the players that are playing that will help us, you know, determine who's on the 53.
Dallas is the week one opponent. The rookie Daniel Jones will be Shurmur's starting quarterback tonight. The Jets will host the Eagles. A lot of teams hardly played their starters at all this preseason, and they have always rarely played in the final one. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the battle to crown the king of carbonated water. Also in this week's issue, why faux meat is becoming the biggest thing in fast food. Dina Shanker wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
It seems to have come out of nowhere, and even the people inside the industry will talk about it that way. Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods are two growing new companies that are making burgers out of plants.
You can read more about them and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. New Jersey Senate President says credit rating companies may be underestimating the state's financial crisis by giving it the second lowest grade after Illinois. Senator Stephen Sweeney says New Jersey is in worse shape than Illinois. The state faces huge debts to employee pension funds after years of failing to put away enough money to cover benefits. Connecticut budget officials are thinking about ways to help Planned Parenthood. Democratic state senators have asked Office of Policy and Management Secretary Melissa McCaw to help them find $2.1 million to help fund clinics in the state. Foie gras is a dish usually made from goose or duck liver. It's a staple of fine dining. In fact, New York Times says about 1,000 New York City restaurants serve foie gras, but New York City Council is considering legislation that would ban foie gras from being sold in New York because of claims that animals suffer during the production process. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potaskin on KYW in Philadelphia. We're talking about Five Below's less than perfect, but not too bad, quarterly report.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting orange juice futures are headed higher. I'm concerned Dorian may put Florida citrus groves at risk.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about a report that spending on office space by New York City government has ballooned in the past year.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting regulators want documents from Ford as part of a probe into the Ford Explorer and claims that some drivers were exposed to exhaust fumes.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A couple other stories we're following this morning. South Korea's Supreme Court has ordered the retrial of Samsung Electronics Vice Chairman J.Y. Lee over bribery charges. It's part of a corruption scandal that led to the impeachment of former President Park Geun-hye. And Barclays is in talks to sell its New York-based automated options trading business to electronic market maker GTS. Sources say negotiations are at an advanced stage, but there's no assurance a deal will be struck. Known internally as automated volatility trading, the business buys and sells options to offer liquidity in that market. S&P futures higher by 23 points. Dow futures up 222 points. And NASDAQ futures a gain of 82 points this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we'll check in with Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans in London, taking a look at Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures higher with S&P futures up 25 points this morning. Dow futures up 240. NASDAQ futures up 87. DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds. Yield 1.49%. Yield on the 2-year 1.51%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 35 cents at $56.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2 at $15.47.10 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Dorian is now taking aim at the southeastern U.S. as it churns in the Atlantic. Puerto Rico was spared a direct hit, but power outages and flooding are reported. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has pulled out of the presidential race. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, Nationals beat the Orioles, the Red Sox were winners, the A's lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Serena Williams and Roger Federer advanced. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly thinks further rate cuts are warranted as a way to shield the U.S. economy from the headwinds it faces. Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat and Haslina Amin, Daly weighed in on the Fed's rate outlook and whether tightening in December was a mistake.
We were below the neutral rate of interest, so we were stimulating the economy when we had those conditions. Subsequent to that increase, that rate hike, then what we saw was that the data, the mood and the data were becoming more pessimistic, if you will, more a little bit softer, the data a little softer, the mood a little more pessimistic. And that's partly because that strong headwind I was talking about, it intensified. It wasn't just a gust that went away. The whole wind got stronger. And that blew against us. And these types of things, global slowing, the headwinds from uncertainty, those things weigh on the economy. The neutral rate of interest has been coming down a little bit. And so to recalibrate policy, that's why I supported the July 25 basis point cut, to recalibrate policy, to put the economy back in a good position.
back to where it was before the stance on monetary policy. But tell me something as well, Mary, here. And this is a question actually from my colleague David Inglis, and that is, if the ECB recalibrates and decides to re-enter quantitative easing, what do you take away from that, and what's your reaction to it?
So all central banks are responding to the fact that they've got economic conditions that are changing. So in Europe, in the European Union, the economic conditions have slowed quite a bit, and inflation's under the target. And so that requires central banks to take action, and they're doing that. In the United States, we also look out at our economy. We see how the global factors affect us, and we have to take our interest rate decisions based on what we see for the domestic economy.
Mary, there's a sense out there that central banks are being held hostage by the markets. The more central banks do, the more the markets want. Is this the new normal? Are you comfortable with how it's panning out?
Well, markets are moved day to day. They fluctuate. They're finding their own footing. And some of that is based on the outlook that they have for the economy. And some of it's based on just trying to figure out what's coming next from central banks. And what I do is I take market information, financial conditions more generally, as an input. Financial conditions being tighter or softer or easier would influence how stimulative the economy is, how well supported growth is. So I take that as an input, but it's not a determining factor in my decision making.
And that was San Francisco Federal Reserve President Mary Daly speaking exclusively to Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
That brings us to 5:51 on Wall Street, and time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans with us from our London Bureau, where Brexit moves remain in focus, Ed. And just as we speak, a red headline is crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Scottish Conservative leader Ruth Davidson is resigning. There had been reports that this is due in part to Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit policies. And the latest policy here is the suspension of Parliament. What is going on?
This is the final days of Brexit, and it's going to be decided essentially in a constitutional cage fight in Westminster, and it's one the Prime Minister has just started. In suspending Parliament, Boris Johnson has sharply escalated the hostilities over Brexit. It's increased the likelihood that Britain leaves the EU without a deal on October 31, but also he has dared the opposition now to call his bluff, to trigger a general election. The risk in all this, of course, is that he unleashes an unprecedented constitutional crisis. The point here is that Johnson wants to goad his opponents into calling the vote of no confidence that would trigger an election. He's lined up his scapegoats here nicely: the EU for refusing to change the terms of Theresa May's withdrawal agreement, and Parliament for frustrating the will of the people. He is setting himself up for a people versus Parliament general election, and to be able to go to the voter and say that only his party can deliver Brexit. Now, politically, this may just pay off. If Johnson's most important objective here is to win an election and stop Nigel Farage's Brexit party from, well, eating the Conservative Party vote, getting Parliament out of the way makes perfect sense. The timing here looks to be spot on. Don't forget, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, he's been trying to assemble a temporary government of national unity under his leadership. That bid has flopped spectacularly. Now, given the opposition in Parliament to a no deal, that was an astonishing vote of no confidence in Corbyn. Opposition party leaders agreed this week they would try and use legislative means to block a no deal Brexit. But again, that won't be easy. It would require taking control of the parliamentary timetable, something, of course, over which the executive, i.e. the Prime Minister, has control over. Much here will depend on Speaker John Bercow and whether he can offer existence. Expect Number 10 to do everything it can to frustrate his efforts. Now, whatever Corbyn says, it's unlikely that he would actually welcome an election right now. His poll ratings have been abysmal. His party stance over Brexit has been confused. Jo Swinson's Liberal Democrats have gained ground hugely on him simply by opposing Brexit. The risk here, though, for Johnson is he's unleashed forces that he may not be able to control. Brexit was all about restoring sovereignty to Westminster. He's, in effect, now gagging Parliament. He could face a challenge through the courts. Former Prime Minister John Major, who incidentally also used prorogation back in the day, has previously threatened litigation. Scottish National Party has already brought a legal challenge in Edinburgh. if the courts won't intervene, expect protests. Labour lawmakers have talked about street protests. But again, these may not be representative of the wider electorate. In all this, Johnson's bid to circumvent Parliament has made the country's once stable legislature, a model of stability, look impotent. The rage of lawmakers is going to rebound for weeks. The only question here, the only calculation for the Prime Minister that matters, will be how this all plays out at the ballot box. It could just work.
A lot to come before that key October 31st Brexit deadline. Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans, thank you as always for being with us. And you can read Therese Raphael's column on Boris Johnson's brutal game of truth or dare, as she terms it, plus more from Bloomberg Opinion. Just go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the terminal type OPIN. Go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 5:55 on Wall Street. In legal news we're watching this morning, Deutsche Bank confirming that it has tax returns requested by U.S. lawmakers seeking financial information for President Donald Trump and his family. Whose returns are those? Well, that's still a secret. Bloomberg's Bob Moon speaks to Bloomberg News legal reporter Chris Dolmetsch for more on the story.
Where do we stand on this right now? Have the judges sort of approved handing this information over or not?
No, not at all. In fact, that's what we're waiting for. There were arguments on Friday. Trump's appeal of an order basically dismissing his suit seeking to block the subpoenas. And the judges, it was a pretty long hearing. It was about two and a half hours of pretty intense questioning of attorneys for both sides. And where we are now kind of led directly from that, because at the end of the hearing, the judges brought up the bank's lawyers and asked them if they had the tax returns, and in a kind of remarkable exchange, declined to say whether they had them or not. And then the judges asked them to submit these letters, which they did, where Deutsche Bank confirmed that it has some of the tax returns that were requested, while, as you said, redacting the names. So we're waiting for the bench to make it a judgment on this appeal. Who knows how long they will take? Given the length of the arguments, it could be some time, but given the prominence of the issue, they may do it sooner than later.
Now, these banks, as I take it, have been handling this very carefully, very sensitively, because their privacy reputation is at stake here.
That's certainly true, and you're certainly right. They have tread very carefully in what they've said about these records. They were very, very careful about their speech on Friday and what they said. And in the letter, they kind of were a little less hesitant, but they were expounded on the notion that they have their own privacy rules and that statutes may prevent them from giving out information, while not wanting to really stonewall the court and not give them anything.
And that was Bloomberg News legal reporter Chris Dolmetsch speaking with Bloomberg's Bob Moon. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues on a day when futures are moving higher. S&P futures up about 26 points right now. Dow futures up 241. NASDAQ futures up 87. This is Bloomberg.